Nighttime on Still Waters. This is NB506812, narrowcasting into the night from somewhere on Britain's waterways. June 2nd, Wednesday. Great God, I love this weather. When mounting rock-grey slabs of cloud climb the sky, and the playful wind that precedes rain kicks and blusters the flaccid air that is heavy with sticky heat and insects and pollen dust and the floral vegetable scent of life. I could stay in a place like this forever, balanced on the razor edge of a coming storm. It's been rather sultry evening, but cooled by a refreshing gentle breeze that choreographs the gnats as they dance above the waters. And high in the evening sky, cirrus ice clouds are tearing into feathery horsetails. And now that night has fallen, the lights from a couple of boats flicker and flash across the water. This is a night for bats and the silent owl. And this is the narrowboat Erica, narrowcasting canal side. It's great to meet up with you again, and I hope that you're well, and welcome aboard. With the swing of the calendar, from May into June comes summer, when, as the 15th century writer of the Calendar of Shepherds observes, "Now doth the broad oak comfort the weary labourer, while under his shady boughs he sits singing to his bread and cheese. The haycock is the poor man's lodging, and the fresh river is his gracious neighbour." And the time when the little lads make pipes of the straw, and the air groweth somewhat warm, and the cool winds are very comfortable. The land and the skyscapes have that definite feel of summer. 2 days of heat gave way to a wash of rain, large heavy spots that did little to alleviate the stickiness. But the air flows with a newer perfume, and down by the gate the sweet fresh tang of elderflower that always makes me want to feel like sneezing. And it's a time of falling blossom. Even in the still air, the listless drift of little eddying currents carry the petals down. And when the wind pounces and the branches rattle, the air swirls with fragrance and colour. And Penny and I walk together through a shaken snow globe of petals. In places the towpath is dusted white with a snowstorm of hawthorn petals. And where, a few months ago, the canal was thick glazed with a white frosted layer of ice, the water is again painted a blushing white, but now with fallen blossom. And they coalesce to form those same patterns that reflect the icy patterning of the winter, where the ice was thickest and frost remained untouched under the same branches of summer. And the now empty sheep meadows are calf high and more, with thick grass and dandelions, plantains and sorrels. And the other day I spotted vetch at the canal edge, delicate purpley mauve flowers with clasping tendrils reaching skywards, climbing the clumps of Lady Anne's Lace, and fescue and sedge and plantain. Keppel Martin describes it like this: "Vitia sepium, Linnaeus, bush vetch, climbing, 1 to 3 feet, flowers, head sessile, stipules semi-sagittate, pod glabrous, in hedges and grass and borders of thickets. Very common. Flowers, April to October. I love that preciseness of language and terminology. Almost poetic in its own way. So much information locked in those few words for those that can understand them. And I look down at this little plant, rising like a surfer on the crest of a curling green wave of grasses and reeds. And I'm torn by these qualities of language that with scalpel precision locks it onto the page. Papilionacea, continued, plate 76. And this tiny flash of colour at my feet, full of vitality and explosive energy of life, elbowing its way up into the sun's light, gloriously, unboundingly untamed. We'll only ever capture a small aspect of life in language. Further up the towpath, five young rabbits have gathered, and they paw the blossom drift beneath their feathery large feet. Perhaps they too are entranced by this sweet-smelling warm summer snow. And then they catch sight of Penny, who is ahead of me, and scamper off through the vegetation. And a wood pigeon clatters into the sky, scattering upon us a shower of petals. The swans are still on the nest, six increasingly grubby eggs, patiently warmed and protected. And the carp are spawning, churning and thrashing the deep green waters, raking along the reedy banks and the sides of our boat, a flash of dull gunmetal silver as they break the surface and dive with a maelstrom of bubbles and foam. And there's been lots of movement here as the season swings into gear. And in our spare time, we've been painting the boat, or at least having a go at treating all those rust patches that have appeared from the scratches and the war wounds of our previous cruises. And it's just been good to sit in the sun. Thank you for all the comments and feedback about last week's episode, and especially the first poems that you learnt. Jean Mann from Norfolk wrote to me to say that probably it was The Lamplighter from Robert Louis Stevenson's Child's Garden of Verses, and I remember that really well. Wendy, my sister, had a copy of that book, and The Lamplighter was one of my favourites, Old Laurie. And she also mentions another favourite, Alexander Beetle, an A.A. Milne from the Now We Are Six volume. And I seem to remember that it was also a record at one point and played quite frequently on Stew Pot's Junior Choice. And Jean also said how much she particularly loves the Walter de la Mare poem, The Listeners. Rona House also got in contact and mentioned Spike Milligan's There Are Holes in the Sky Where the Rain Comes In. The holes are quite thin, that's why the rain's thin. And I too, I think again, Wendy had a book of Spike Milligan's poetry, and really clever, witty, but wonderfully rounded poems. And some of them actually very poignant and quite deep. Vanessa from the Mindful Narrowboat vlog wrote to say that in her family, The Owl and the Pussycat was top of their favourites. And again, that's another really good poem to recite. And it feels good when you speak it out. Patricia Carswell, on the other hand, from the Girl on the River podcast, really upped the stakes with Upon Westminster Bridge, which is quite a feat. And also then caps it by saying that she's still word perfect with The Way Through the Woods and the Jabberwocky. And the Jabberwocky particularly, that is very impressive. And another real favourite of mine. I love that playfulness with words and just the sound and the way they feel in the mouth. Gordon Wood named Cargoes by John Masefield as his one. And that again is a lovely one. But again, contains some quite complicated words there. Until you get to the Dirty British Coaster with Small Kate Smokestack. And beautiful, wonderful rhymes and internal rhythms there. And at the opposite end of the spectrum is Wayne from the NB Wannabes. And I assume it's Wayne because I can't believe that it would be Amanda, who claims that it was probably There Was a Woman from Nantucket as his first poem that he learned. And the narrowboat stowaway wrote and said that although they can't recite poems from his childhood, the ones that stick in the memories with the odd verse sticking out. And that in itself is quite a poetic turn of phrase. And I love that. And the way that the odd verse just sticks out in your brain. It's great. And he also then mentions that actually, if you did have a favourite, it would be The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. And again, that's a cracking poem and lots going on in there as well. And this week we said goodbye to some friends, Jackie and Pete, and their little dog Pippa, who left for their summer cruising in the narrowboat Lena Kelly. The lockdown and restrictions had prolonged their winter mooring with us, and now they're off on their adventures. So if you see the Lena Kelly, please just say hi to them from me. And they probably won't remember me, but they will certainly remember Penny. So just say that Penny sends her love to Pippa. The world is filled with young life. Everywhere you look, the rabbits that I mentioned earlier on, a young squirrel that sits upon a fence post. And a few days ago, Penny and I were ambling across Bridge 55, and nonchalantly turning the corner was a young fox, looking like a plush toy, fine soft fur still bushy around its ears and alert eyes. We both took a step back, and it ducked under the gate into the sheep field and was gone. And this morning, the field was filled with young magpies, six of them, almost as large as their parents, clucking like little chickens, demanding to be fed. And some of the ducklings are now getting much larger. And although they can still be identified as ducklings, soon they'll be merging with the older ducks, and newer broods appear each day. And there is an energy and an untidiness about this time of year that I emotionally respond to. I love its untidiness, the way it bursts through those barriers that would try to contain it. Watching the tentative first steps of ducklings and the experimental exploration of those young rabbits into the world in which they have been thrown. That fragility, that sense of tentativeness, and yet that also boisterous energy. Fledglings. And it reminds me of something that I wrote a number of years ago. It was written a little later on in the year, I think sometime around about August times. But I think the sentiment still stands. It's called Fledglings. The second or maybe even the third hatchings are taking place. And the hedges and dark corners are alive with scruffy squawks. The older rooks play dodge and twist on the field, followed by their insistent clamouring young. And our runner beans are regularly plundered, and the garden now blooms with spinning scratched CDs and ragged carrier bags that play upon the wind like corporate prayer flags. And everywhere is enthused with the untidy energy of youth. And now, here they come, in a small gaggle down Main Street, a little knot of girls singing and shrieking, daring the world to look at them with that eggshell-thin, fragile belligerence of adolescence. Dressed in little more than their parents' high blood pressure, they trip the curb of Oxhill Road, and the sky is filled again with a shrill laughter and foul language. And every shriek, every movement, calls fearfully out to an uncomprehending world in which they have found themselves flung. There are no easy Edens for us sons and daughters of Adam. I have arrived. I am here, and this is me, they seem to say. And they fall silent as they walk past me, and then collapse in snorts and giggles, their arms around each other's shoulders and necks. And I love them for it. I love them for their heroic, barbaric yawp that signals their presence in this world, in this village, on this little, inconsequential street on one summer's afternoon at the razored edge of their childhoods. And I am drawn into their terrifying, wonderful, invigorating, intimidatingly indifferent worlds into which they find themselves. And do the little feathered scruff balls that dart beneath the garden hedges also feel like this? Lifting their voice into the blank, unyielding sky for the very first time. Is their piping call clear and sound? Or do they fear that no one will notice? That their voice is too cracked? That their song won't work? Do they fear that they too might be ultimately unlovable? The girls turn the corner by the maple that flames wine red in autumn and pass out of sight. But their voices still ring among the flights of lazy bees. This is me. I am here and I am beautiful. And if there's a slight shake and hesitation over the last word, that it turns it more into a question than a statement, let us pretend not to notice it. For yes, your voice is loud, and it is clear, and your song works. So exult in it, let it ring out across the streets, for you are so very, very, very beautiful. But for none of the reasons you, at this moment, think. And this is the Narrowboat 506812, signing off for the night and wishing you a very peaceful, restful night. Good night. Temperature outside, 14.3 degrees. Inside, 22 degrees. Humidity, 56%. Dew point, 9 degrees. Wind direction, south-southwest. Wind strength, 4 miles per hour. Barometric pressure, 1024, rising. Cloud cover, 31%. Cloud ceiling, none. Precipitation, 0. Moon phase, 17.4%. Waning crescent. Day length, 16 hours, 33 minutes. Sunset, 21:21. Sky casting, 4:48.